तन्नदत्ते असुवृद्धे Translation, my dear Father, the opulence we possess is impossible for either you or your flatterers to imagine for persons who engage in fruit of activities by performing great sacrifices, are concerned with satisfying their bodily necessities by eating foodstuffs offered as a sacrifice. We can exhibit our opulences simply by desiring to do so. This can be achieved only by great personalities who are renowned self-realized souls. Prasadi's father was under the impression he was exalted in both prestige and opulence, and then he had offered his daughter to a person who was not only poor but devoid of all culture. Her father might have been thinking that although she was a chaste woman, great day here for us when her husband wasn't in a deplorable condition. To counteract such thoughts, he said that the opulence possessed by her husband could not be understood by materialist persons like Dr. Shai and his followers, who were flatterers and were engaged in fruitive activities. Her husband's position was different. He possessed all opulences, but he did not like to exhibit them. Therefore, such opulences are called avyakta, or unmanifested. But if required, simply by willing Lord Shiva can show his wonderful opulences, and such an event is predicted here, for it would soon occur. The opulence Lord Shiva possesses is enjoyable in renunciation and love of God, not in material exhibition of sense gratificatory methods. Such opulences are possessed by persons like Kumaras, Narada, and Lord Shiva, not by others. In this verse, the performers of the Vedic rituals are condemned. They have been described here as Dhuma Vaknadi, those who maintain themselves on the remnants of sacrificial foodstuff. There are two kinds of foodstuff offered in sacrifice. One kind is food offered in the fruit of religious sacrifices, the other, the best, is food offered to Vishnu. Although in all cases Vishnu is the chief deity on the sacrificial altar, the performers of the fruit of rituals aim to satisfy various demigods to achieve in return some material prosperity. Real sacrifice, however, is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, and the remnants of such sacrifices are beneficial for advancement in devotional service. The process of elevation by performing sacrifices other than those aimed at Vishnu is very slow, and therefore has been condemned in this verse. Vishwanath Chakravarti has described the rituals of performers to be like crows, because crows are like eating the remnants of food that's been thrown in the dustbin. All the Brahmins who were present for the sacrifice were also condemned by Sati. Whether or not King Daksha and his flatterers could understand the position of Lord Shiva, Sati wanted to impress upon her father that he should not think of her husband to be without opulence. Sati, being the devoted wife of Lord Shiva, offered all kinds of material opulences to the worshippers of Lord Shiva. This fact is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. Lord Shiva's worshippers sometimes appear more opulent than the worshippers of Vishnu, because Durga or Sati, being the superintendent in charge of material affairs, can offer all material opulences to the worshippers of Lord Shiva in order to glorify her husband. whereas the worshippers of Vishnu are meant for spiritual elevation, and therefore their material opulence is sometimes found to decrease. These points are very nicely discussed in the 10th canto. You were an offender at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva, and unfortunately I have a body produced from yours. I am very much ashamed of our bodily relationship, and I condemn myself because my body is contaminated by a relationship with a person who is an offender at the lotus feet of the greatest personality. Purport, Lord Shiva is the greatest of all devotees of Lord Vishnu. It is stated, Vaishnavana Mita Sambhu. Sambhu, Lord Shiva, is the greatest of all devotees of Lord Vishnu. In the previous verses, Sati has described that Lord Shiva is always in the transcendental position because he is situated in pure Vasudeva. Vasudeva is that state in which Krishna, Vasudeva, is born. So Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna. And Sati's behavior is exemplary because no one should tolerate blasphemy against the Lord, Lord Vishnu, or his devotee. Sati is aggrieved not for her personal association with Lord Shiva, but because her body is related with that of Daksha, who is an offender at Lord Shiva's lotus feet. She feels herself to be condemned because of the body given by her father, Daksha. Because of our family relationship, when Lord Shiva addresses me as Dakshayini, I at once become morose, and my jolliness and my smile at once disappear. I feel very much sorry that my body, which is just like a bag, has been produced by you. I shall therefore give it up. Therefore, the word Dakshayini means daughter of King Daksha. Sometimes when there was relaxed conversation between husband and wife, Lord Shiva used to call Sati the daughter of King Daksha, and because that very word reminded her about her family relationship with King Daksha, she at once became ashamed because Daksha was an incarnation of all offenses. Daksha was the embodiment of envy, for he unnecessarily vested in her great personality, Lord Shiva. Simply upon hearing the word Dakshayini, she felt afflicted because of reference to the context, because her body was a symbol of all offenses to which Daksha was endowed. Since her body was constantly a source of unhappiness, she decided to give it up. Translation might require that the opulence you possess is impossible for either you or your flatterers to imagine. For persons who engage in fruitive activities by performing great sacrifices are concerned with satisfying their bodily necessities by eating food thus offered as sacrifice. We can exhibit our opulence simply by desire to do so. This can be achieved only by great personalities who are renounced, self-realized souls. So here Sati concludes her teachings to Daksha. In this particular verse, she criticizes Daksha for being absorbed in sacrifices, which are also Vedic. According to scripture. But the results of those sacrifices, which are material for Daksha, who wants material things, are nothing compared to what Sati and Shiva possess, even though they do not exhibit those types of wealth. In other words, Sati is Durga, and Durga is in control of the material world. And so she has all wealth and all facilities at her command. And she is the wife of Shiva. Shiva himself, of course, then possesses everything also, because his wife is in charge. And Shiva, of course, shows great detachment from everything. He is famous for being very austere. And therefore the different types of ascetics try to imitate him. So his appearance is one thing, but actually he does have all benedictions at his command. And therefore sometimes people worship Lord Shiva, and he very easily awards them their what they desire. And so therefore he does have, but he does not show, and he is not attached to these things. So because he is a great person, he has such detachment. So here this is called there she's called Avaduta, one who is completely detached from everything. And so for the one who is practicing this complete detachment, such material wealth is invisible. It cannot be seen. But it is necessarily much greater than anything that can be achieved by the sacrifices that Daksha or his followers perform. And that is nothing compared to their powers and opulences. But it's all material. Durga's jurisdiction is the material world. And though for people in the material world this may look very big, she's got all of this power and wealth, the whole material universe. From the spiritual point of view, it is nothing. Matter is nothing. It is inert. It is useless. So, therefore, all of this so-called wealth is actually meaningless. And that is why Shiva is not interested in it. However, Shiva has something more than that also. He is an expansion of the Supreme Lord. So he doesn't only have control over material things. He also has control over some aspects of liberation. And therefore, some people worship him for liberation rather than for material things. So this is much greater than material benefits. So therefore we have Artha, Dharma, and Kama. These are the things that people in the material world aspire for through Karma Yoga. And then there is Moksha. This is what people who are in Sattva-guna aspire for through Jnana Yoga. And they often worship Shiva in this process. So therefore Shiva is connected with liberation rather than with material things. Even though some people worship him for material things, his greater wealth is his bestowal of liberation. But we should understand that even that liberation that Shiva gives is not independent. It depends on Vishnu. Vishnu is also the giver of liberation, because Shiva depends on Vishnu. He is the devotee of Vishnu. So therefore, ultimately, even that liberation depends upon Vishnu. So if one wants to get liberation, one can worship Shiva, but one also has to worship Vishnu. One cannot reject Vishnu, because he is ultimately the source of liberation. So, Sati understands Shiva's position, and Daksha does not. Daksha doesn't even appreciate the fact that Shiva and Sati are in control of all the material things in this material world, let us speak of liberation. So he is involved with sacrifices for pleasing devatas to get some material wealth. So in this way, Sati is pointing out the great foolishness of Daksha. So therefore, after saying all of this, Sati laments her relationship with Daksha. Since he is an offender and she's related to him, she feels that she is at fault. Simply by that relationship, even though she is full of knowledge, nevertheless that relationship with Daksha is like a black spot for her. And therefore she says, I will give up my body. Of course, giving up the body for such an exalted person is nothing, because they get another body. They have the power to get another body, so it's not no big problem for them. But nevertheless, she felt that relationship was faulty, and therefore she wanted to give up that relationship. And then she gets bored in another relationship with somebody else. It's fine. This, of course, again, is, we can say, material designation if we are very attached to such such designations as material relationships. But she does this in order to signify and or show the great, the serious nature of offense. Simply being related to an offender is a problem. want to speak, appear from that person or associate with that person. Simply to have a relationship by birth with that person, with the offender, is considered dangerous. At least for, that's how she considers it. And for that reason, she is willing to give up her life. So previously she said that if one meets an offender, one should stop that person or not hear him or go away or cut out his tongue and kill oneself, etc. So she gave all sorts of, kill the person and then kill oneself. So she gave all sorts of alternatives for offenses. So in this case, she wants to do away with her body because there's a relationship with Daksha as her father. That she feels is bad. That's also a connection with offense simply by that body. Even though that, of course, is lesser than you know, associating with or hearing the offense. Still, she feels that also is a big problem. And therefore, she wants to end that relationship by her death. So that is there to indicate the nature of aparada, the serious nature, that somehow we should not be connected with aparada at all. It is a very serious thing. So, therefore, we have to be very, very careful of that.
Durga, Sati, Parvati are different personalities?
Same. Born and make our appearance in different ways, that's all.
She is the controller of the entire universe, but why she has to take birth like this? I mean, in case of Krishna, we can understand that because of his devotees, you know, to please them, but in this case, her relationship with her parents is not exactly conducive.
Well, this is of course Leela also, pastimes, because her body is not destroyable by normal means. So she can make her appearance in different ways. So here she'll just cut off the relationship with Daksha and get another body as Parvati, daughter of Himalayas. Doesn't say here where this takes place. Possibly it is on heavenly planets or on earth planet. Doesn't really say.
But there is a description about the sacrificial place where the sacrifice is being done and where the entire soul has to be done. Somewhere in the Himalayas.
Does it say where? I would assume it's on the earth because Daksha was born on the earth planet as a descendant. So I would assume that's where it was. Exactly where.
Daksha is a Prajapati, for that matter, does the Prajapatis are bound to be controlled by karma?
Prajapatis are not eternal. They are material. A lot of them are representatives of the Lord, so they may have special devotees, but not all of them.
Daksha means expertise.
Well, if one is expert in dealing with spiritual matters instead of material things.
Maharaj, Lord Shiva is considered as the best of the Vaishnavas, but there are other Vaishnavas who are considered.
Yeah, that is just that's just a term used in Brihad Bhagavatamrita and other places. There is hierarchy of devotees. Shiva's somewhere there, not at the top, obviously. Because above him there are higher devotees. Pandavas are higher. And Hanuman is higher. So many devotees are higher. I don't know Hanuman, but at least the Pandavas are higher, and the people of Dwarka and the people of Raja are much higher. So it's only a relative term.
But at the same time, Lord Shiva is also an expansion of the Lord. So I find it quite bewildering how he is an expansion of the Lord and at the same time he is not, he is lower on the hierarchy of...
Well, he plays a certain role, that's all. He is given a role to play in relationship with the material world.
many places are wrong.
Is he categorized as a Jnana Mishra Bhakta?
Not quite sure. I don't think so. Prahlada's class is a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. I don't know.
Is it imperative that all the best devotees of the Lord should have an intimate relationship with you?
No.
They can choose.
Narantara Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Minutes. 26 minutes.